My name is Joanne. This is my father.
I know what's happening with my body. I won't be able to take care of myself.
When the time comes to get more support for your parents, CARE can help you find qualified caregivers nearby.
What would help me is if there could be somebody there that could check in on you.
I realize I have to do it.
The best decisions are made with CARE. Find help for your mom or dad at care.com.
You are listening to the Sideline Sass Podcast, Episode 11, College Football Championship Live from NOLA.
Today, we are talking about the College Football National Championship game, and on hand, we have a few former Stanford football players with us and our very favorite Jordan Watkins on hand to give us some analysis on the game and talk a little NFL as well. So, let's get started.
Hey everybody, Emily Van Buskirk here with Kaylee Krish. Welcome to the Sideline Sass Podcast.
If this is your first time listening, then welcome. The Sideline Sass Podcast is produced every 2 weeks just for you, and show notes are found at audioboom.com.
Come back often and feel free to add us to your favorite RSS feed or on iTunes. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sideline Sass with three S's or on Facebook at Sideline Sass.
And while you're at it, you can go ahead and follow the Sass on our individual pages. I am at Miss Krish on Twitter or at Cakes88 on IG.
And I'm Emil Nem on both. Those links can be found in the aforementioned show notes.
So, let's get sassy.
All right, guys, we are now recording live from NOLA in Palo Alto.
Whoop, whoop.
We are sitting here watching the fourth quarter of the national championship game, 20-10 Georgia.
Can you believe it?
Okay, I'm here with Kaylee. We're joined by Noor Davis.
What's
Eric
up?
Cotton, say hi.
Who's back?
Jordan.
Back again. Jordan, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, and of course, Danielle Frega, my beautiful girl.
Love is in the
she
air.
She stayed in the picture, so. All right, so we are going to live record this fourth quarter.
Yeah. We're going to try to pretend like we're commentators.
Oh, here you go, the Georgia cell phone flash, I think. Okay.
Light up the bends.
Light up the bends, everybody. That's a thing. He was telling, I didn't believe it.
They do it in the fourth quarter.
Is that everywhere, or was that just at the OU game?
Well, usually, like, they need the band, or does the band play something, and then they, like, move with it.
That's awesome.
I've seen it at,
Everybody got real shy. Did you see how we hit the recorder button, and everyone got real shy?
Nothing happened yet.
Can be reflections on the first three quarters?
Is anyone shocked at the score right now?
Nor, let's hear your thoughts.
Nor's already had two predictions so far today.
Well, look, I'm going to tell this to all the viewers, all the listeners. Alabama viewers. Will come back in this game and find a way to win.
What's the score going to be?
It's going to be 24-20, and that's my final decision.
Sure?
He's going to shoot the gap. Great play. Boom. Force a fourth down. Force a punt. Come back, score.
All I know is Saban's already pulled out his code red button, put the true freshman in the quarterback.
Hey, he's kind of balling, though.
He's kind of balling. He's also kind of throwing a pick.
He's kind of just running.
So is, like, then right after he threw a pick, Jake Fromm threw a pick.
Yeah,
yes. Karma. Karma came right back around, you know?
So we just saw a player swing his helmet at a coach.
Never see that from Alabama.
As players, A, would you ever do that? And B, what would you do to a teammate that did do that? Or would
Is
you
Coach
say
Hart
to
still the coach?
Oh my God, I told y'all.
But you would never realistically do that. And if somebody did do it, would you sit him down or would you say something to him? Like, hey.
I think we can all agree we've had those points where we wanted to do it. Yeah. Like, just mentally, you're that frustrated, but like, you don't.
I've been known to come off the sideline during practice.
Really? We're learning so much about you. This is very illuminating. I like it. Digging it.
But yeah, I've never seen anything like
But like that, no.
48 days.
Well, especially as an Alabama team, because they're supposed to be so disciplined.
Exactly. Yeah, but they're doing so bad. That's probably they're probably not used to this.
Let's not jinx anything that's going on here.
I will jinx everything.
You will.
Oh, you see, this is the reason why you can't. Because there are a lot of
jinx.
You gotta remember what other football team is in the state of Georgia? Falcons.
Oh.
So you can't jinx anything.
Oh, we've seen it. We've seen it, and we will see it again tonight,
so,
ladies and gentlemen.
I remember even Saturday during the Rams game, my friend's like, "Yep, it's over." I was like, "No."
You gotta believe.
For everyone who's listening and not watching,
I believe, but I never make like a bold statement like that until the game.
You're not gonna say either way. But is that just as like because you're such a big fan of these teams, you're not gonna say anything?
Or just
in general, you.
I've seen it from like the Falcons so many times, or any Atlanta team, period.
Okay.
So it's just like, you know what? I know.
So it's an Atlanta thing.
It is. It is.
So you're not worried, or you're a little worried?
Well,
you don't look worried.
Like I said, the game's not over yet. And Alabama's still Alabama, so.
Well, I have a bottle of champagne for you to spray around.
Oh, I'm not getting my shoot reels messed up.
Yeah, we're going to record it. If you can spray it right at you.
Oh, these are the
OPM
Nikes.
The OPM Nikes. All right, dude.
What's that? I'm not getting
the shoot
reels.
They're from China, though, so don't get excited.
Oh, these shoot reels aren't.
No, they are.
These are legit.
We were talking about that earlier.
I paid with it for my per diem money. I know how much these cost.
Oh, boy.
Max, you got to save that. You got to save that money. Got to save it up. Get it while you can.
It was at, you know, when we were at the third Rose Bowl, when we played Iowa, that mall across the street?
Yeah.
They had the shrew reel store in there, and it was like on sale.
Well,
people were blowing money at that mall. Irrationally.
So you take your per diem and you just buy whatever you want.
Me? Not I.
You can, because it's your money.
Hypothetically, it's your money. Me, I'm more of a saver.
So you would save that and then bring it back with you.
Yeah.
What you got on your feet right now?
Me? Some Nikes?
What you got?
Some Nike KDs, the new KDs.
Okay. Is that per diem KDs?
$100. $100 shoe palace right down the street. Go get yours. Special
shout out.
Special breast cancer.
That's the first shout out of the episode.
Is it Kate Yao?
K-Yao. North Carolina State Great.
I got the pink for all the ladies October.
North Carolina State, great basketball coach.
Great. Legend. I would like to hear more of from Kaylee.
She's being oddly quiet.
Oddly.
See, I'm trying to let the professionals speak their mind.
You are the
professional.
The professional.
You are the professional.
You are the headliner.
You're as professional as
we
get around
here.
See what
happens when we go to commercial, everyone? We just get off on weird topics.
Yeah, that's fine. That's what commercial.
Jordan brought it up a little bit earlier, but is anyone surprised at Nick Saban's Houdini switch of quarterback there?
Honestly, I'm not. And
I feel like you guys shouldn't be, because you've had quarterbacks switched on you before.
Well, the offense was so
one-dimensional
with Jalen, and they had to do something different. If you want them to respect the pass, they don't stack the box against the run. You got to bring someone in that can
analysis.
Yeah. I like it.
See, I agree with that. The only thing that I can't agree with is you have a starter who's been 25-2. You got to give him a little bit of shot in the second half.
I give him
at least one or two drives in the second half. If he's able to get, you know, a couple first downs, get some momentum, and then make some things kind of shake from there, then I keep him in. And if he's not, then I bring in a backup.
But I mean, right out of halftime, the thing with the young guys, they're going to do exactly what the coach tells them to do.
That's fair. That's a good
point. And then he threw a stupid ass interception.
And that's the age.
But he's making great throws. He's clearly stupid.
Oh my goodness.
God.
Big lineman downfield.
Yeah. That's a big boy right there.
He's clearly crazy talented.
That guy is huge.
78.
Whoa. We're gonna have to look up
blasted him and army crawled off this field.
Big lineman downfield.
Boom. Army crawl. I love it.
All right,
let's look at the stats on this. 78.
Do you think that with bringing in this new quarterback that's thrown Georgia off at all? Because obviously nobody's ever seen him, like seen film on him or seen him do anything. So it did kind of look like they stuttered a little bit when he came in because he was running the ball really well as passing through.
It just added a different dimension to their offense. They have the ability to throw now and it kind of, oh, he's hurting.
I'm sure he's like taking his reps with the runners all the time. So like, it's probably not that. It's just like a little bit.
They've seen him for sure.
I mean, look back to the.
Great cut. Go!
Ooh! Oh, Najee from Antioch.
Antioch.
California.
Was that Harris?
Najee Harris.
Najee.
But, there you go.
What I was going to say is, think about Georgia's defense against Oklahoma. Everyone's so worried about stopping Baker, and all of a sudden, they are killing Georgia's defense on the run. You got to make them respect both of them.
And are you, like, as a player, are you prepared for that? Are you coming in this game thinking you're seeing Hurts the whole time? Or do you anticipate potentially seeing anybody else? Like, when that other quarterback comes in, is there a split second where you're like, oh, shit?
It's like a split second of, like, okay, cool. Because, like, whenever we play teams and they've put in their second-string quarterback, it's been like, all right, we've been doing something really good against their offense. So, like, it's like a little boost of morale for the defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, do you keep doing what you're doing, or do you feel like
you keep doing what you're doing? And obviously you have to adjust because they're not the same player. But you just keep doing what you're doing and play off of that.
Oh! You know, in all honesty, because, you know, all of us, the fourth member of our crew is sitting on a couch somewhere in the back. I would give him a shout out, but he doesn't deserve it.
I'll shout him out. What's up, Ronnie?
All of us are defensive players. I think we can collectively agree on that when another backup quarterback comes in, we all kind of look around and we say, you know, we'll bust his ass too, you know? And that's just the kind of the morale and the competitive drive you have as a defense.
It makes you hungry.
So you want to see what you can do. But obviously this kid is doing well. He's talented.
Well, and like Eric said, it kind of gives you a boost of morale. Like, oh, we're doing something good, so let's just
let's bring out the third stringer.
Well, I guess one of my buddies, Coley, he's an ESPN guy. He said that this backup was looking super loose at media day. Like, he looked like he was ready. Like, I don't know if that's
maybe
because someone told him or they knew, like, hey, this is, we're going to go to you if this doesn't work. But he said on Twitter even that he was like, this kid looked like he was ready to go. So.
I mean, it could be kind of a persona because you don't want to show the people that you're nervous and all that. But that's hard.
If you're really scared, then that's hard to mask that, right?
I also feel like at the same time, you're a true freshman.
Yeah, that's
national championship. Like,
he also has years to like get good, you know what I'm saying?
So exactly. He's
like, that's true.
Shoot, let's go ball.
And the funny thing is like no one has said his name yet, and I think it's because
Tua Taco Vailoa.
There you go. I was gonna say it's because
he's calling Tua. That's what everybody's doing.
Yeah.
Let's just settle on that.
All right.
Tua. The homie.
But I was gonna say it's because, you know, he's Hawaiian and those names are like extra hard to pronounce.
So wait, I read something. He was gonna go
Taco Vailoa.
He was gonna go to
Taco Vailoa.
There it
is.
There you go.
Kaylee. We were at the Foster Farms Bowl this year, and it
another
was
loss for the Pac-12.
Arizona and Purdue, which actually turned out to be a good game.
Purdue was really fun to watch.
And we were standing there on the sideline, or after the game, the ceremony, and we're standing there, and she's like, hey, how do you pronounce the wide receiver, the French guy?
I don't know his name.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's asking me. I was like, I don't know. Ask Kyle. I don't know. And one of the players comes up, heard us saying that, and said, oh, hey, let me help you. So he came over, and he gave us all this pronunciation. And he goes, now watch out, because this guy's a lady killer. So if you go up and interview him, he's gonna get slide in the DMs.
Yeah. So he comes
did
up.
Did you interview him?
So she did interview him.
And dude comes up later, and he's like, oh, I told him. I was like, oh, I got that interview. And he's like, oh, do you wink at you? And I was like, no. He didn't wink at me. He's like, did he get your number? I was like, no. I was like, dude, what am I doing wrong? I didn't get winked at or a number.
But in the post-game press conference, I was videoing him, which I always video everything. I'm videoing his answers, and he turns and looks at the camera and does like a little smile and a wink. Yeah. And so I gift it and put it on Twitter, and he was dying. He was retweeting it. He's like, yeah, that's my move.
Yeah.
So I guess it was right, but
He just was too nervous. Just not to he me. Was too nervous just one-on-one.
Shout out Coach Brown for Purdue, by the way.
Yes, that was
carrying over from Western Kentucky.
And let me just
Kentucky
say, too, that all, those, like that. That all those guys on Purdue were super yeah. cool to talk to.
Really nice.
Really great well interviews, spoken. Like easy to interview. You Stanford guys sometimes.
It was a lot like covering Stanford. No, difficult. I felt like it was the same.
Difficult to interview, yeah. And I come up to you and I'm like, hey, can I get an interview? You're like,
yeah. I disagree.
See, nobody,
you
nobody,
think we're difficult? So I've never heard that.
Nobody wanted to talk either. To me, so if you want to talk to me, it's like, yeah, as long as you want, it's good.
That's what.
That's because you're a good talker.
That's what Josh used to say. He's like, oh, you know, no one ever wanted to interview me. No one wants to interview defensive guys. And I was like, that's not true.
We do all the time.
Nobody knows about the trenches.
We gotta give them love.
Nope.
Oh!
Oh, did he get a foot in?
I don't know.
Review that.
Wow.
No. This is going to be
nice. We need a score update from our...
They got to review that.
Score updates with Nordic. <Davis. laughs>
Might go to overtime, but...
I don't think they have possession.
They said it's so crammed on the sideline that they're making people... Like, when they have to warm up to do kicks and stuff, they have to make all the media move. They said it's really crammed.
All I have to say is...
I'm going to shout out Bubba Sparks, who's at the game and is going to hopefully call in later.
Oh,
that's,
also,
our, that's our homie.
Thanks for reminding me. Hey, shout out Elijah Holyfield, number 13 for UGA, Woodward Academy alum.
There we go.
Shout out. Shout out. Don't get that ring for the academy, young fella. All
right, we got to tag him.
We will.
Absolutely. I can say that. I'm old.
Big fella to the young fella.
24 is really hyped right now.
But you know what?
Yeah, Paul's going to get Paul's going to stay.
You know that last name, though, right?
What was the call? No catch, right?
That's the Vanderbilt.
Here we go. The officials were notified that the previous play is under review.
As opposed to, we're gonna review this play.
No one knows what's going
on. How has the officiating been in this game?
Well, they're not Pac-12 refs, so it's been solid.
Big Ten.
It's been good.
It's been good. They're Big Ten refs.
Which ref? I was going to ask. Which refs are these Big Ten?
Yeah.
And they're supposedly equally as bad, though. Like, I've heard a lot of Big Ten media people say that they're...
But you, so far, every flag I've seen has been pretty legit.
I don't think you called that control, though, right
no,
on his leg. Yeah.
I don't think
he did. No, he doesn't have control.
He really thought it was a catch.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'd love it if it did.
He also doesn't see it over there.
That's a ball.
But he called it a no catch.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand that.
You don't understand
why? Why can't he use his
legs? He uses his like his
crotch.
Yeah, but look at
it.
Watch how
it
bobbles.
No, he's still going.
Most important question.
That's so minute, though.
Most important question. Did he survive the ground?
Right? I have never heard that saying before until this year.
I've heard it so many times.
No, but all I've heard it is from this year, and it's literally every game.
Exactly.
Basically, every game.
Exactly.
Does it survive the ground? When did that come? When did that become the thing that you said doesn't survive the ground?
When the Patriots needed it.
There you go.
Oh, Andy.
Oh. All right, so Andy missed one. You missed the first one, thanks to
Emily.
He's
going to make this one. He's going to make this one,
all right. God, I hope he misses it, just so that Emily can redeem her jinx.
Hey, don't mind me.
His name is long as his bet.
Oh my God!
Chip
that was close.
All right, so
far left. Far left.
Correction.
We're good.
This game will go to overtime.
Update.
Now that they didn't score a
touchdown. Nor Davis update.
Score.
Unless they want to just be
miraculous. 5-minute drive with the field goal coming up.
Go for the win. Should be crazy.
Score updates with Nor Davis.
I'd like to shout out Sonny Michel for his 97 yards.
Yeah.
That's incredible to me.
I mean, he's got 97. Nick Chubb only got 22, but he's got 15 carries.
They have what? Two?
And then
133 as a team?
Chubb's, you know what's crazy about that? Going backwards.
What?
Everyone always talks about how Alabama, the toughest teams that they play, the only teams that give them problems, they're dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They don't have a dual threat quarterback at Georgia. Justin Fields isn't out there suiting up.
No.
That's amazing. That's all I want to say. That's amazing.
That's amazing. Jake Fromm he's 15 of 29 for 225 yards. One touchdown, two interceptions.
One was a little fluky.
A little bit.
Off the helmet.
Jake from State Farm.
Shout out NBA Street off of easy.
NBA Street.
And then we've got the Alabama quarterback now. I can't say it, so go ahead.
Tago Bailoa.
Tago Bailoa.
9-7.
Where's Luke at?
Never, never, never me.
What most people won't notice about that that interception was if Deshaun Hand wasn't getting held, the pass would have got completed. He got snatched by the guard into the body of the guard, and the ball deflected off his helmet because of that.
I mean, we've seen pass rush cause two picks up on the game.
Yeah. But he wasn't even, I mean, he was trying to get off, so. And his body got pulled to the side, and the side of his head.
Yeah. But I mean,
it was
like,
crazy. Never seen anything like it.
Of course, second half of the Rose Bowl, Georgia dominated the line, pass rush.
Yes.
Sugar Bowl, Kelly Bryant had no chance to throw the ball. So we're seeing another storyline coming up here.
So that brings up a good point that, you know, Jordan, I was talking to you earlier, were you surprised in how well Georgia played against Oklahoma? And you said no, like, in the second half, you were surprised.
Nobody's
like,
asking how
really
I felt
well.
About Oklahoma losing and Baker.
Well, we know how you
no
felt.
No one's asked me. And
we know how you felt.
About
so I
how do you
you
feel
about it after the game?
So let's all turn our attention back to Emily.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I hung that tree ornament that Kaylee got me on my tree, and then as soon as I did that, they lost their first game.
So I am the jinx now.
Now I have to destroy this.
I play violin, by the way, so I know what I'm doing.
I'm extremely upset.
He does.
But Baker Mayfield,
you don't play with time
hard. His hand's too big. I'm just saying that Kaylee got me a Christmas ornament that says Daddy on it. It has Baker Mayfield's face. I hung it on my tree, and then all of a sudden, they lose. So I think that there's voodoo on that ornament, and then I throw it away.
No, and that makes me sad. In that particular game, I want Georgia to win. I wanted Georgia to win, but I was like, if Oklahoma wins, like, it's Baker, and it's okay.
Oh, he got pancaked.
Oh!
That's the crazy man.
Hold up.
He's on the field still?
That's the crazy man. Ronnie.
He didn't get, he's not in trouble.
He's playing motivated, I guess.
He's playing
so they,
real
they
angry.
Said use that and yeah, just go back out there.
God.
That was the guy that tried to hit the coach?
That is the guy who successfully hit the coach.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right.
He's got to use it.
How strong is he?
Yeah. Got one
strong
arm.
And real angry.
5-minute drive to a field goal. Coming up.
48.
All right, 9:20 to play in the fourth quarter. We got first and down. I mean, first and ten in Georgia. On the ball.
They're both in red colors, so it messes me up.
All right.
Not that big.
Blown up.
Slow developing with that play.
Why would you allow Alabama to stack the box, though?
I was just going to ask, so why does it seem like Chubb just gets stuffed right away, but Sony's been having some success against them. Like,
I think because he can hit the edge faster.
I did. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. It's a whole different like game.
It's a much different ball game.
Yeah, because of the first off.
You can actually like pass it.
Reverse.
All right, Nicole. Good block. That's a great block.
He's not even...
That's a great block.
Nicole.
By the way, my dad just texted me and said Chubb is not fast enough to go laterally.
Well, there you go. Analysis from dad. Chubb is not fast enough to go laterally.
Dad's listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
He's on it.
With that being said, Fox, ESPN, Pac-12 Network, y'all probably need it the most. I'm here.
First of all, Jordan, we're here first.
You're right. I take that back.
We made you.
You made me. I'm sure my mom and daddy had something to do with that.
I forgot this. Just
stuffed. Stuffed.
I'm waiting for an all out, like,
94. This kid playing.
Can't win.
Coming into this,
what are you saving that for?
Don't know.
I don't like.
She was started talking, so I was ready.
I don't like the call where you tell Alabama, hey guys, guess what? We're running the football.
That's a big guy too.
And he's got good hands.
They are all big. But I've been looking up their weight and their height.
Daron Payne's like 3'8".
That guy, who was that?
94. Wrong team.
Oh, he outkicked his coverage.
308.
Payne, 308. 6'2".
What? I don't think he did, Norm.
There you go. Well.
Oh, there's Elijah. Hey, way to get in there, Elijah. I see you.
Hey, shout out. Okay.
Back to commercial.
What was your question before I interrupted you about this?
I don't know. I don't remember now.
Probably.
I'm sure it was a good one. I'm sure it was riveting.
I was listening. Well, is any consolation?
I know, but I had to address the elephant in the room. Okay?
And what was that?
Which was
that? Baker Mayfield is the giant elephant. No one's talked about this whole game.
Hey,
Oklahoma's sitting at home like,
there's a question.
Well, because we were waiting for you to say something about it.
Well, I'm offended that I had to bring it up.
So
I'm offended that it took this long for you to bring it up.
Kaylee's trying to speak.
Bryce Love should have won.
I apologize, Kaylee. Nor's right.
Shout out Bryce Love.
Yes.
We actually tried to get him here. I doing.
He
wouldn't
have said
he?
Anything anyway. He's soft spoken.
Oh.
He would have
been
sitting over there with Ronnie.
Everybody look at Ronnie. All right, anyways.
But I was going to say, was anybody surprised and or have a reason why Baker Mayfield wasn't around for 3 days prior to the Rose Bowl?
Food poisoning.
What was he doing?
He didn't look sick.
They said he was sick.
He didn't look sick in the game.
Was he hungover like Michael?
No,
like some people say?
No, he was not.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
She was freaking out when he went to the basketball game, you know, and everybody had that picture of him and he was drinking a beer and he had the girl next to him and she sends me the Instagram. She's like, oh, everyone's like, oh, it's not his girlfriend, it's a different girl. I was like,
No. So I read through all the comments.
And they were like,
this picture. And they were like, that's not Morgan. Who's that girl? And I was
it
like,
it was her.
No. Don't be like Johnny Manziel. Be a good guy.
It's not like, why would he go to a basketball game with someone that wasn't his girlfriend? That,
because
know, he
can get whoever
be
he wants now.
That's not the point. He was going to be on camera at some point.
Yeah.
He was so close.
But they're not that smart. No offense,
Baker Mayfield, that was your girlfriend. We're not worried.
Get her nor.
I was like,
get her nor.
I'm going to take offense.
Get her nor.
We're all dumb.
No,
we're all dumb.
He's pretty smart.
We don't have Stanford degrees.
That's not us.
I was surprised at the Heisman. I went and covered it. He was very reserved. Like, usually you see him in the season, he's doing something like where he's hyped up and like on one. But at the Heisman, he was like giving nothing. He was just really.
Well, I mean, we know like
Lamar
on
Jackson
the field,
was more hyped
right?
than he was.
On the field and off the field emotions. Well, Lamar also had a lot
Lamar's
of leeway.
Hilarious.
Lamar has also had a
Lamar's
lot of
like
leeway to go.
He can
Baker,
do whatever he wants.
After the whole, was it Iowa State? No.
Ohio State and then Kansas.
Kansas
is where he
after,
got
after the
problem.
Kansas game, it's like, okay, I got to do
First
everything
all,
right.
Those guys didn't shake his hand. Like, I'm sorry, but like that's rude.
How bad was that? Ooh. As a football player, like how bad is that to walk up
good
to the player?
All I know is he learned not to say it's over
phone.
After like in the middle of
what'd you drop? Or,
a Hershey's Kiss. I really
come on. I'm just
oh,
saying.
Oh, a play call.
I don't think what he did was that bad.
Let's go, Bama.
We talked about this last time, though, with the Florida, the UCF game playing Southern Florida. Flowers. Flowers brought – He made an inappropriate motion in the end zone.
But, I mean,
and we don't hear anything about that.
That's
yeah,
what
zero.
Happens when you're the guy in the national spotlight. You
when
have to
Baker grabs his crotch goal. Momentarily, which
maybe
okay.
he had an itch.
Yeah.
Did
you don't know.
I don't think so.
He might have.
I don't think so. He had about as much of an itch as Marshawn did against the Saints those years ago.
Shout out Marshawn.
I was just going to say, I don't think we can go through a podcast without a shout out Marshawn.
We're waiting on the news of whether yes. he'll be back or not. We have some. Pretty exciting stuff for
Jordan, you think he'll come back?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What, Oakland's back for what, one more year?
One more year.
I think he wants to send Oakland out with a little bang.
Right.
So I think he'd be
do
back
you think that Gruden has any, like, do you think
uh-oh.
That,
oh, what a move.
Sling. No, out of
do you think if Del Rio would have came back, he would be more inclined to stay, less inclined to stay?
Well, I mean, I feel like from the get-go, it wasn't about the coach. It was literally about the city.
Oh, yeah.
Marshawn and the city.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even knowing John Gruden, first off, I feel like John Gruden has no... He can take a risk if he wants. He has a 10-year, $100 million deal.
We're going to have a...
We'll talk about it later, but like...
Yeah, so
if they had that much money, why was there not a down payment on a stadium? What's going on?
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's literally... That could build a... Jerry's...
Yep, there's a flag.
They're going to a place where there's a new fan base.
Yeah.
You can spread
your
fans.
And
no state income tax. They're going to save a lot of money.
Yeah. But let's just say, too, I mean, the Las Vegas Golden Knights just came in and have had an amazing year. I've had a really great year, and I have a really solid fan base, so that's pretty cool, too. So, I mean, I always thought that the Raiders would do really well there.
I don't think football is going to survive in Las Vegas. And I'm saying it.
They'll be fine.
I don't think so.
You're opening up a major sports team in the betting capital of the world.
Well, I mean, the way I see it is, look how...
You don't have to bet to go to the games to bet on them.
But look how well the Knights have done so far.
You don't.
Okay, but that's different. And it's an influx from the first-year team, and they're doing well. So the Raiders are going to have to go there and do well to draw people.
I know, but I'm saying that at the end of the day, that's... It's not just that, it's also comparing hockey to football in America.
It's very different.
The Raiders are a damn good football team.
Sunday is also not a big day in Las Vegas. Sunday's a get out of town.
Well, yeah, unless you're an actual local resident.
Right.
So think about this. Think about...
I think so.
But you also got to think about, from the business perspective, the influx of people that come into to Vegas on a weekend basis.
Yeah.
And, I can also catch a football game as well. That brings 70,000-80,000 people in who may not be from Las Vegas. You can get those Oakland fans and those LA Raiders fans.
Yeah.
And you can get them on quick $100 round trip flights to Vegas to come see it. Exactly. To come see To come see a phenomenal game, as well as go to the clubs, go to shows, go to casinos.
There's a big club in the stadium. There's already one in T-Mobile.
They're lit.
And then just thinking about,
they're lit all weekend.
You don't think the Broncos fans are going to travel to Las Vegas?
Oh, that's
Kansas
easy.
Kansas City fans will travel to Las Vegas?
Broncos fan base.
Why not?
They will.
You're also with Vegas.
Everyone I know is a Broncos fan, kind of swears.
They'll travel. Not only are you keeping... The Raiders are now an Oakland and L.A. fan base. They now have a Nevada fan base. Yeah. They have a Utah fan base.
Traveling fans are going to
traveling
Vegas.
Traveling in Vegas, You're having
I think that's the argument I've heard, and I think that's going to backfire. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. I understand why you think it's going to backfire, but the proof is already in the pudding when it comes to the
hockey. Don't say the Knights.
I'm going to. With the Golden Knights, because hockey is the fourth major... sporting team, whatever. When it comes to the NFL, that's number one. If you can attract half of what the Golden Knights have, it's going to be fine the first year. The fact is that hometown people of Las Vegas have embraced that team more than, and people that are originally born from Vegas, they represent that team. They love it. They're going to do the exact same thing with the Raiders.
Oh, God. You know what's funny? I thought NFL was down this year.
It is down this year, 16%.
So much, but yet everyone thinks that it's going to be just fine.
This just stands tonight's attendance for the game, 77,430.
They got everybody in, finally.
It's a lot.
They got everyone finally.
That's just probably tickets
sold. That's at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Beautiful
place. Jordan's actually
beautiful.
Been there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can also look at it not just with hockey. You can look at the influx that happened during...
I hit a nerve with everybody.
During Summer League. During NBA Summer League.
Yeah, and how many, that's only that for, like...
Well, the reason why that got so much better is because of the actual talent level of players starting to go into.
But you see, but I mean, now you put a professional football team in that same city.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but like...
It's interesting to see the experiment, but I just have this feeling. I don't know.
The way I see...
I think the players are going to love it.
But that is what scares me, though.
Well, it's not just
that's
about...
That's also scary.
It's not about the Vegas atmosphere.
Alvin Smith wouldn't survive in Las Vegas.
But think about... Think about
the money.
You're saving so much money. Anywhere in the influx between 10 to 13% of your state income tax.
That's true. Marshawn would be about that.
Oh, yeah. But he would like that. He's like...
These players are going to... They're saving a lot of money. They're going to be able to live at a way cheaper cost level than Oakland.
But you don't think there's going to be more violations?
We're talking.
We're talking other kinds of
violations. I guess my question with that is, with the awareness that they're also more at risk, would you not be more careful?
You would think so, but you see people get in trouble all the time.
But I mean, you could argue the same thing about Dolphins players in Miami. I mean, it's they find ways to stay.
Well, you saw what the
players are going to have a good time wherever they go.
You saw what the Falcons did before Super Bowl 33.
All right, fourth down.
Actually, Super Bowl in Minnesota.
All right, fourth down. Alabama's on the ball.
Someone's got to get home.
Oh! Touchdown!
Touchdown!
You're not willing to put up for it. Yeah.
I got y'all.
No. Calvin Ridley with the
touch. My podcast listeners.
Your podcast. Lord.
To my Bama podcast listeners, excuse me. I got y'all. I told y'all.
Touchdown!
I'm gonna say, is that like our?
That's the first time.
Touchdown fireworks.
You're fucking embarrassing.
Just
I can't open
champagne.
You're good.
So tell us what just happened, though, because they don't know. They can't see it.
Analysis.
I have to see what's happening over here. I keep hearing champagne pop.
What's your name?
Catherine,
you want to be on the podcast?
Catherine is now a new member of our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, for our podcast.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you, too. Should ask her who shoots.
All I got to say at the end of this is, what happens when there's no pass rush? Came too late.
What a throw.
TCU.
Came too late.
Well, what a catch, though. Really made that great catch.
Dang, you said that, not me.
Oh, he's getting held.
Got no shade. I'm retired now. Not retired. But, I wouldn't.
Okay, one more. And another one.
Tagovailoa. Beautiful pass.
All right, question for everybody here. If Alabama wins this, who starts game one for Alabama this year?
You have a very, very competitive offseason. Spring ball is going to be very competitive.
See, you've made three predictions on the final score already, but you can't answer my simple question?
No. I can't tell you who's going to start.
That's what I'm saying. You made three predictions.
I think Tua is the early favorite because of what he can do. Oh, my God.
So come on.
All I know is if Georgia loses this in overtime.
Listeners, that you can tell I'm the only person rooting for Alabama at the table.
You really are, though.
You really
at this whole event.
The whole time. Yeah. I stayed steady.
Why? You don't have like a tie there. You just want to see them win.
All I know is
you think they're the best team?
I think they're the best team.
Okay.
We have true freshmen versus true freshmen for the national championship. How about this?
How great is that?
And he just dropped his mouthpiece. Oh, no, he's rattled.
Folks, it might end up being 23-20 Alabama. Oh, might change this score.
Again,
are you willing?
If Georgia,
are you willing to put it on the line?
Alabama will have a three and out. Papanastos.
The more you ask, the more resistant you get.
magically
make a game winner. Reverse psychology. Like,
you won't do it.
Somebody else needs to put some money.
Incomplete.
On the table. Get Nora in the mid.
That saves a timeout right there. Boom.
So for people that didn't watch the game and are listening to this, we are in the fourth quarter, 3:39 left. The score is tied up 20-20. Now, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think Georgia puts up the better game because we saw an amazing game between Georgia and Oklahoma last weekend, and that was absolutely better than the Alabama-Clemson game by far. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's Georgia.
I'm afraid, though. I'm actually afraid right now. I was not afraid all game.
Right? I want
that.
Is that bounce?
Hey, third and manageable.
Third
and
three.
A lot of nasty hits.
Third and manageable.
These guys are playing for the championship. Well, for
can you picture the Stanford team that you played on playing in a game like this against guys like, I mean,
we beat them.
You beat them.
Yep.
I heard the logic earlier. It was like, if somebody beat somebody, explain that.
I mean, there is no logic. I don't mean to cut in for Cotton. I just think that I just think that as a competitor, no matter who you play, you think
but
you can
win. You always think you're going to win. And you say, I don't. But you're not competing now, so you're
absolutely.
Out of,
no,
you're
yeah,
out of the zeitgeist. So can you?
And at the end of the day, no matter
Jake.
Who, fourth down.
Jake, it was open.
No matter who you are playing, you always think that you're gonna win.
But if you look at the team that you played on from an analytical standpoint, statistically, I mean, heart, whatever the alternative, whatever the X factor is. And you put it up against a team like this.
Analytics can't measure what's going to happen take place on the field.
Of course, there's going to be some intangible things that you can't account for.
Analytics don't match execution.
Do you think that the Stanford team that you played on can match up well with a team like this, I guess?
The funny thing I've seen is people we've played in playoff games, they look a lot more impressive than we do.
Right.
Like, they're like bigger guys.
They hit harder, it looks faster, whatever. Yeah.
And then we play.
With exception to this last year, we've held up against those guys and beat them. So that's what leads me to believe that going against an Alabama or a Georgia.
You think you guys would have held your own?
I think we would have held our own.
Because, I mean, and this is just from people who cover it. Obviously, we don't. I've never played. I don't know what it's like to step on a field like that. But from someone who's covered. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, Kaylee's been in. From someone who's covered games, like, for you guys for a long time, and then gone to see a Georgia game live.
Go win this, man.
It's very different. The speed of play is different. The way they hit each other is just different. And I'm not knocking a Stanford team, but it just seems like Pac-12 in general is just different. So I don't know how you measure without seeing a head-to-head.
But
I
think that's a great point. Is that it's hard, and that's why I was talking to Jordan earlier about the fact that like we saw Georgia play Georgia Tech, and I had no idea they would come out and play Oklahoma the way they did, just based on how they play Tech. But it's Tech, so it's a very hard measurable to like be able to see them
it
together.
Is.
So I think the same thing. Like, I can't look at Stanford and say, oh, they can beat a Georgia. They can beat an Alabama. But that's not to say that they can't.
The model's built to play. The model that Stanford has built and that, Shaw's Harbaugh implemented and Shaw's curated, it's built to last in this kind of game.
Yeah. It's
if
also
you have depth, that's the big thing. Because I feel like, the last couple of years where it matters most, and you can see that with Alabama, Georgia, a lot of those usual top-tier SEC teams each year. They always have...
First down. I'll tell you this, Wadi. If Alabama comes back and finds a way to win this,
Score update.
Tua will be the starter. If they win this national championship, Tua will be the starter.
You don't even think it'll be a contest?
No. If Tua... Because they were down
13-0.
That's a bad game. 20-7. You got to stay in your cap.
20-10. They come back and
win this. You got to give Hurts the chance.
Well, has he not had 2 years of a chance?
I don't think that we should measure him by. He's a good player. I just don't know what happened.
I mean, he's a good player, but the way I see it is, even this year, I look at the two biggest games of Alabama season so far, which is the Iron Bowl and now this year. Mm-hmm. And he just hasn't shown up to be a dual threat. He's been a good runner. Everyone knows he can be a good runner.
But the
boy.
Wow.
We got a flag.
Watching Najee Harris just in this game, what do you guys think of him long term?
A 4-string, 5-star running back? Must be nice.
All right.
Or 3rd-string, whatever he is?
Yeah.
A 3rd-string running back with the number one player in the country.
Yeah.
And I just, I think that goes to show just the greatness that is Bama and Nick Saban's recruiting.
Yeah.
And they're just incredibly deep.
And that brings up the point of, like, do you think that Nick Saban can compete at an NFL level? I mean, he has before, and that didn't go very well. But, like, because of the way that the recruiting is built and how... he knows he's going to have 3 years or 2 years with these
No,
guys.
I think it's different because in college, you can use Alabama as a name, and guys just want to go to Alabama because it's Alabama.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you have different draft orders and all that, and so the pick and choosing is a lot different.
Yeah.
In Alabama, you can say, okay, we're Alabama, we're going to offer you, and everybody wants to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I think a lot of people forget about the whole aspect of Nick Saban, the recruiter, besides just Nick Saban's approach. Like, obviously, Nick Saban's a great coach, Like, he might even be a better recruiter than he is a coach.
Yeah.
Which is why you have these teams that are stacked like this year in
and
year out.
And the thing with Nick Saban is he doesn't even have to be that great of a recruiter. Like Cotton was saying, you can say, hey, would you like to come to Alabama? And in the back of your mind, you'll know, I have an almost 50% chance of making the national championship, let alone winning it every year. And you see, they've been in it 3 years in a row. They won two while we were in college. And so just their success, I think, shows just kind of their greatness and why people want to go there.
So do you think he'll ever leave college?
I think he's retiring.
I think he'll retire as an Alabama coach. First down.
Someone just tweeted, Jalen Hurts is going to look so nice in a UCLA uniform. That's an ESPN tweet, by the way.
That's
hilarious.
That's very funny.
Also, welcome to the pack.
Reed Option. Reed Option. Welcome to the Pac-12. Reed Option.
All right, so right now we are at 56 seconds left in the game. Fourth quarter, 2020 is our
score.
What are
your predictions, Nora?
Nora says we're going into overtime.
I told you, I'm rolling with them tied. All right.
Emily, the drink here at NOLA, this fishbowl thing, is called...
Well, there's two of them. And Jordan's why don't you speak on that?
So there was the Roll Tide Punch.
Why did you order that?
I don't know.
They brought that one out.
Okay.
And we tried it.
Yeah.
It tasted
NOLA's
like...
Alabama faithful.
What did it taste like? Somebody said, like, Christmas?
Tom said it tastes like Christmas.
There you go.
Like a pine tree.
A little bit.
Okay. And then the Georgia one.
Georgia on Mine. Great song. Wonderful.
How
song.
Was that?
Better.
It was better.
It was
a peach. Okay.
And I think while we're on a little break, let's talk about the fact that like NOLA has been pretty amazing.
Yes.
They've been wonderful.
Yeah,
they've been awesome.
They gave us this nice little spot. We were able to do the podcast here.
Yes.
Hopefully it sounds great.
We'll
back to the game. 56 seconds left.
Gotta wonder if a freshman quarterback has a turnover in a time like this.
Oh, I hope so.
They're just gonna run the ball.
Not if he runs it.
They're gonna run the ball.
Yeah.
And play for the field goal.
Yeah.
Wind the clock down. If they miss the field goal, they
What's
go to overtime. But they're gonna make it. Papanastos.
23-20.
Papanastos. He's had his struggles
in
the past. Ladies and gentlemen, he's had his struggles.
Earlier in this game.
But guess what? On the bright side of things, Georgia just used their last timeout. They can no longer ice him and let him think about it. So it's between his
got a ball hunt.
It's between him and himself.
So hopefully they do another offside.
Unless Georgia blocks the kick like they did against Oklahoma.
They got a ball hunt.
Or the very first field goal of the game from Alabama. They went offsides. Alabama went offsides. They went 5 yards back, and Papa Nostus, what's his name?
We'll go with that. I like that one better.
That ain't it, but I like it. What's his?
He missed it. So that started their...
He was not far away.
No.
So
5 yards back,
here we go.
Him up.
Papa Nostus.
That's literally what I said.
Papa Nostus. Richard Sr. Alabama native.
The good thing with this, you know,
people
this
know
kick right
lives.
Now, obviously it's for the win, but there's really no pressure. If he misses, they don't lose. Go to overtime. So that might give him a little bit of relaxation.
I beg to differ.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to play.
You're trying to play Crimson Advocate.
On Papa Nosto's show.
You just want to play Crimson Advocate.
He's trying to show his range as a play-by-play guy.
You see?
He's got depth.
He's been the most play-by-play of all of us.
I got y'all.
We need that.
Go.
Oh, he likes it on the right half.
Must.
Or the freshman messed up.
Staying down. No, the whole line.
I'm going to be so bummed. I'm going to be really bummed.
We're just going to end the podcast with just this one.
Yeah.
45 minute segment.
This is 45 minutes.
It's going to be a chip shot, too.
I hope he misses.
Shades of the sleep.
I really hope he misses. Emily, get your jinx on.
Oh, this is bringing back Super Bowl flashbacks.
Ryan, I can't tell if you're looking at me.
Go country. Hey, man, we ain't here for that.
Pause play for the man. You're fired.
He's always mad.
That's true. When those people ran into him on the sideline, I was
he saw his face.
He was so bad. Oh, it's Hurts. Hurts ran into him.
He wanted him to run one more play.
He mad. Oh, now we get a nice...
Hypnosis.
A nice review of the miscarriage.
Oh, my gosh.
Not even a little. Oh,
he just shanked it.
Poor guy.
He got it out early, folks. He got it out early.
Hopefully not.
He showed up drunk?
Janikowski does it, so it's possible.
Well, I mean, he's one of the realest to ever do it.
Yeah.
And he also didn't do anything this year.
He's been injured.
I know.
So now they're just going to set the ball wherever they
Tavecchio
want.
Tavecchio is doing well, so shout out Giorgio Tavecchio. Well,
you got to do it again, Lorenzo.
That was a hell of a flat bro right there.
Who? On their team? Probably.
What
did
he say?
I don't know.
He's
going to
miss it. There you go. How
do
you say that one?
Pierre
Schmacher.
What's going on here?
What is happening?
Are they going to try to get it to the middle? Timeout?
Is he an under center quarterback?
Is that Hurts?
No.
Yeah. Get to the middle, take a knee.
What?
Timeout.
Oh my gosh.
They brought
set
it
up. The kicker really needs it directly in the middle.
Kick, I guess, from the middle.
That's embarrassing.
No, that's, I mean, that's where his preference
is. Wide, so it's probably
the angles in college, the hashes are wider.
Yeah.
It's easier to put it in the middle.
But I can't wait for him to miss it now. Now that they did all that.
Now I'm actively rooting against him.
Yeah. Popping nose juice.
Look at this guy losing it. This guy right here.
He's on the sideline kneeling down just praying.
He's praying.
Ronnie,
roll tide.
Roll Tide, Nick.
I can't believe it's going to come down to this whole game.
3 seconds
it's
left.
It's funny, I was talking to one of my friends before the game. He was asking about my prediction. I did say, I didn't know who was going to win. I said 24-20, so I'm close.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Evidence.
Oh, my God.
You said 2017 to me earlier. All right, comes
I know.
Down to
Sorry,
this.
We have, yeah, we're having dead air because we're all very nervous.
Come on, Lorenzo.
It comes down to this. Alabama's kicking a field goal.
No! Hey, man, all I got to say now is shout out, Conrad, because whenever you stepped up to kick that thing, we never worried about you missing
never
it.
That's true.
Oh, I love Conrad.
Never did. Never did.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yours in disbelief.
Yeah, but by the way.
Oh, yeah, let's
see. That was garbage. 26.
24-20, right?
That's the new score, Norris.
Except there. He didn't make it, though.
Score update by Norr Davis.
At 4:36 is when I texted that.
All right. Folks.
Now what?
This game.
Now what, guys?
Final score.
Okay,
here we go.
36-30, Alabama. That's a lot of points.
Oh my God,
who's been
so
more wrong
points.
Lately? Nor,
listen,
president,
else.
Or LeVar Ball. One of the three.
This got chills, man. Where do those numbers come
hear
from?
Me out.
I haven't been in any of them.
Alabama will get the ball first. Georgia will win the toss and elect to play defense, right? Alabama's going to score a touchdown. Georgia's going to score a touchdown. 27-27. Georgia's going to come out with the ball. Georgia is going to kick a field goal. Alabama's defense is going to be stingy. 30-27. Alabama's going to win on a walk-off touchdown. 36-30. Roll with the tie. Hey, man, I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, I saw
that. That's cute. I like it.
Hey,
all right, everybody's taking a break. We're going into overtime.
Yeah, we should take a break, right?
We're going to take a break?
Yeah,
we should take a break.
Take a break.
Okay. So here we go. National championship game, Alabama versus Georgia, going into overtime. Score is 20-20 at the moment. We'll be back shortly.
All right, we are back now in overtime. Who has the ball? Alabama.
Georgia.
Georgia? Yeah. Does it matter?
Georgia has the ball.
She's drunk, ladies and gentlemen. Uh-oh.
Sack. Midfield. Oh.
Sack. You can't take a sack
Sack's
right
in
there.
The backfield.
Hey,
no.
I'm trying to look up this kicker is really well, from
Roll
you can't take. You can't take a sack.
That was on third down too.
Yep.
Like I get it. Don't throw it away.
No, wait. You said the kicker
because...
from Alabama is from where?
Georgia.
No, he's from Montgomery. That's what I was saying. Ronnie, I literally just
lie.
I told you guys that while we were on air. I said he's from Alabama. He's a redshirt senior.
All right, Rigoberto.
It's fine. No one listens to me.
We got a kick.
Oh, God. Well, it's your hands. Kaylee, you got it. Kaylee loves the Georgia kicker.
He's going to miss it.
Stop it.
You better not.
He's going to miss it.
Booyah.
Oh, man.
Just squeak right. That's how you kick.
I'm going to eat this whole bottle first.
Is that full or no?
No.
What a kick.
Kick.
How many yards was that?
You passed it
51.
Out.
51 yards from Blankenship. That's amazing.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Oh,
no.
Oh, God.
But what are the college rules? So
thank you.
So Georgia got to go first. Yeah. They pretty much set the standard for what Alabama has to do.
They have to at least kick.
Yeah. So if Alabama scores a touchdown here, they win.
Yeah.
If they don't score at all, Georgia wins.
Okay. But
if they
get
a field goal, we keep going.
Yeah. College rules, I like college rules.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm a fan.
I do too.
I think it's better than NFL. I like it better.
Come on, dogs.
I'm not letting... If I'm Alabama, we're going for the touchdown. We can't put the ball in his
going for it on fourth?
Going for it.
I was like, if you're playing a video
overtime.
Game. Yeah, in a video game, for sure. You got to kick it, but...
Let me just say, what a great couple of college football games
last. It's a great game.
We've been treated to some great games.
Some really amazing college
games.
Shot ball.
No, there. Oh, there.
Back in.
Yeah, back in.
Oh,
yeah.
There we go. Georgia defense
just like, just like we saw with Jake, you can't. That's a true freshman. That's a true freshman.
Why didn't he at least throw it out loud?
Hey, that's a true freshman.
Well, Jake just did that too. You don't throw it out loud because he doesn't want to get an interception.
The thing with true freshmen is the situational awareness. You just don't know.
Oh, he had him open too on the fade route. Oh my God, 16-yard loss.
That's a lot. For those listeners who don't. Know how many yards? That's a lot of yards to go backwards.
Hashtag.
Oh,
yeah.
Roll Tide!
Oh, wow!
So all of that.
He just set
Alabama.
Up. He set himself up.
Gets a touchdown.
They throw it
in the end zone. 26-23. Alabama wins. Wow.
He's true.
All of that.
That is just...
That kid's slaying that.
Not even close to 36-30, let me just say. But,
wow.
But you were right.
26-23.
But they did win.
Wow.
I did call them winning it on a walk-off. Just picked the wrong quarter.
That is
the
nuts.
Air just came out of the room, I think, for sure.
Yeah. Everyone's pretty bummed, except for Nora.
Second play of the Alabama drive. Second play of the Alabama drive. Deep throw to the end zone. They pick it up. Game over.
The thing that we did not expect at all. I don't think.
No.
I would wow. not. I would not have.
Freshman sensation.
But
clearly
that's saving.
No one did.
But that's saving.
Wow.
Therein lies the beauty.
I want to see the coverage.
The Saban voodoo wins again.
Some unhappy fans.
He's way too calm. He's way too calm.
Oh my God! That and Nick Saban just said it. Was that a good game or what? Yes, that was an amazing game.
So you're saying that this quarterback now, that's it. He's next year's.
Yes, he's the next starter. Woo.
I mean, that was a hell of a pass. That's nuts. I think.
Yeah, he's definitely starting.
Wow.
He's way too calm. He's got composure down the stretch.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Pretty bummed.
Yeah.
I thought.
Scored 26 unanswered. Or not 26 unanswered. 26 points in the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, 14 at the end
for
of the
24.
Day, at the end of the day, Georgia left the door open.
They did. Overtime's hard, though. We were just saying we like overtime because of how it's set up, but it's also like that where that's where you sneak in.
Well, I mean, like, I'm saying even earlier.
Yeah.
I was talking to some of my friends earlier. They're talking about how good enough Prom was playing. I was like, you're playing Alabama.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's you got to play as best as you can. And he missed a lot of throws early that could have ended up in more than just field goals.
16 of 32 for 232 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Jake from Statline.
That was from. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Tui?
You gotta say it. You're the one that.
Hold on.
Tagovailoa. 14 of 24, 166 yards, three touchdowns. You know, but that was
and he had all of them. I mean, he came in what, the third? The start of the third?
I think so, yeah.
He did all of that.
I don't know, it was
actually, I think
in the second half.
In the second, yeah.
That's nice.
You didn't start.
He didn't buzzkill.
See, I hate when they do that. Like, he didn't start. But
second half. So he told them they were going to rotate him.
Well,
and he just
said,
you're first up.
Yeah.
So
he just did.
Had he not done well, then someone else would have gone.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ
is who he wanted to pick. Well, there you have it, folks.
Well, I think the first black one was Blake.
Alabama wins. I thought maybe we didn't live in a world where Alabama could lose 2 years in a row, so there it is.
I don't really have any.
They can't play a team from Georgia in the Natty. That's what it is. I feel sad for my state, man. That's 2 years in a row. We've just let it slip.
From the Falcons to the Dogs.
Yep.
But at least they played amazing game. Against Alabama, I thought fourth quarter it could have been a blowout on Alabama's favor.
At least doesn't cut it anymore. They got to do it all.
Yeah.
That I mean, the Braves are the ones to thank for that from the 90s.
Six. Alabama had they utilized 6 running backs and 9 receivers. Once they got rolling, they started working with a lot of stuff, but compared to Georgia, they just had, one, two, 4 runners and about 5 receivers.
Yeah.
I don't know, Saban, that's what he does best, is he finds ways to win if it's not working.
So, Jordan, final thoughts of the game?
So like I said before, Georgia kept them in the game, whether it be the a lot of passes that Jake Fromm missed earlier. Field goals aren't going to cut against Alabama. You got a chance to score touchdowns, you got to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like I said, Tua ball, congrats to Alabama. At the end of the day, they deserved it.
Yeah. Eric, final thoughts of the game?
It's a bummer. Rooting for Georgia. But I guess the young confidence, a little chip on his shoulder came in and got it done. So I can respect it.
Yeah. Nor, you're the only one happy here.
Great game. Roll Tide.
Ronnie, Ronnie's not going
to
say bye. Bye, Ronnie.
Oh, I was locked in. I was trying to hear what they were saying.
He's dipping.
No, the Hurts.
You're listening.
I was listening to him.
He didn't look. He looks happy. I mean, he looks.
No, he's happy.
He's
fine. He's a national champion.
Yeah.
Especially after last year when they lost. So that's a painful feeling. All of us here can attest to losing in a championship. It's painful. But to come back and win, that's amazing.
I hear it's funny.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Safety.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cover 2, he blew it.
Yes, he did.
That's crazy, watching it like that.
Emily, final thoughts on the game?
I already gave my 2 cents. I never bet against Saban. I thought Alabama was going to win. I wanted Georgia to win, but at the end of the day, I thought Alabama would pull it out. So.
Yeah, I think I was in the same boat, but I'm glad that it was such a good game.
Yes.
It goes to overtime. That's amazing. For national championship, you never want to see a blowout, and
he
a lot of times it does
happen.
It was a good
But this was definitely a good game. I'm bummed for the Dogs. I really wanted them to pull it out over Bama. But
do you think the Bulldog gets sad? Do you think he knows if they don't win?
No, I think he goes home
Uncle
and
definitely
he has
feelings.
You think he knows?
He definitely has feelings.
Is he going to go hide in the house?
But his feelings reside in the plate of food he gets at the end of the night.
No food for you. You're not eating tonight.
Okay, knows.
All right, well, we'll be back with some analysis, break down a little bit of what we saw, and then talk about some other stuff, too. So stay with us.
All right, everyone. We are still here at NOLA in Palo Alto. We just finished watching the national championship game, where Alabama defeated Georgia 26-23. It is pretty depressing in here at the moment.
It cleared out pretty quick.
It cleared out very quick. It's pretty sad. Jordan specifically is. I can see the tears in his eyes.
No, I mean this is where it is for me.
Yeah.
As y'all know by now, I'm born in Atlanta, raised in Decatur, so Metro Atlanta area. And pretty much since 95, my city and a lot of people around it have been waiting for a big-time championship when we should have had more. We should have. The Braves should have won more.
Yep.
The Falcons should have been to one in 2012, I think it was, and then, of course, last year.
Yeah.
So this was another situation where it's like, okay, here we go. Somebody please finish it out, and they didn't. So,
but what would you peg that as in the last part? Do you think it was just like not knowing this new quarterback that Saban brought in? Do you think it's just the Saban voodoo in general?
I'll put it on two things. First and foremost, shout out to Coach Saban and Tua Tagovailoa for, one, Coach Saban making that change, and then how he performed the second half. That was absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal.
If you ask me, because at the end of the day, it still was true freshman versus true freshman in the second half.
Which, side note, is amazing.
For a national championship, is amazing. I think that he, without a doubt, outperformed Jake Fromm. And I say that because, you know, yeah, I'm comparing one half to two, plus overtime, obviously. But even that first half, I saw so many opportunities where Georgia could have extended drives. Where, I mean, yeah, there were some times where there was pressure. Sometimes there wasn't pressure, and, you know, Jay just didn't make the throws. So that was, you know, I was texting friends at halftime. They're saying, oh, yeah, Jay's doing a good job. I was like, yeah, but good isn't good enough. He missed so many plays out there that might come at haunt them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, obviously, it did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, congrats, obviously, to Alabama, Crimson Tide fans everywhere.
You have to say that because you're a former player. I feel like former players always do that. They're like, well, give it up to that. No, what you want
to
say
I
is
never, I didn't say that
screw
to the,
you, Alabama.
I didn't say that to the Patriots last year.
Yeah.
I didn't.
All right.
Well, then again, I didn't say anything for like a day and a half last year after the Super Bowl. So
I don't like it when you're sad.
No, it really hurts my heart when you're sad.
I mean.
Like, your poor girlfriend.
Whoa.
If you get sad, like, I would just be like.
No, I tell you right away, just leave me alone. But I mean, like, even if we're looking at the replays now, think about, like, for example, that first interception that Fromm threw.
Yeah.
How wide open it was. I mean, obviously Brown got the interception, but because it was underthrown.
Yeah.
And then there were a lot of, like, third down plays that could have been extended that he just didn't make the throw. Like I said, against a team like Alabama, I don't care if they deserve to be in the playoff or not. You can't make those mistakes.
Yeah.
But let's say from day one of this college football season, did anybody see Georgia making it to the national championship?
Well, the way I see it is there is one reason why guys like Sonny Michel, Nick Chubb, Lorenzo Carter, all those guys came back.
Yeah.
And
because they thought they could get there.
They saw something in the team, exactly. Yeah. So, honestly, I feel like if they really thought in their minds that, you know what, that we've wasted our chances. Yeah. There's nothing. Let's leave. They wouldn't have stayed.
So how heartbroken do you think they are right now? now.
They're, oh, they.
Oh, God, I can't even think about it.
Now you're going down a rabbit hole of sadness.
Okay. It's we're done with the sadness.
They fought hard. It was fun to watch them play.
It was an amazing game. Let me just say that Georgia puts up an amazing game. We saw that with OU. We saw that this week with Alabama. Alabama, like, and you don't get rolled over. That's amazing.
And, you know, I'm excited because this was just Kirby Smart's second year being a head coach.
He's so great.
He is. So great. I mean, I remember him from being recruited, and he was actually also a secondary member of one of my high school coaches.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
So, you know, like I said, just from that mutual relationship, I've been excited for him. I was happy when he got the job.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, I was the farthest thing from a Georgia fan growing up because I like Tech. But since I didn't go to Tech, you know, I threw it out the window. I should go for the home state.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see what he's going to build, especially with this recruiting class coming in next year and all
that. What's a little scary to me is, like, you go from being, you know, almost a national champion to where do you think you see them next year?
Well, look at the team that just won.
Yeah. That's very true.
Where were they last year, you know?
Yeah,
that's true.
And, of course, obviously not everybody can be Alabama, but I'm saying that to say it can't happen. It absolutely can't happen.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm going to be hoping that it happened. And unfortunately for me, my dad just moved to Georgia, so I became an instant Georgia fan.
Yeah.
So, like, way to throw the heartbreak in there, Dad. Jesus.
It's good, though. It's going to be good. Like, they played well. There's going to be more. Oh, here we go. Proposal.
Of course. Of course.
It's not a national championship without a proposal.
Yeah, Alabama fan, or Alabama player, sorry.
And let's just say,
his girlfriend.
He's got to lock it up. Congratulations. He's got to lock it up now.
Congratulations.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
All right. From the national championship game to the National Football League, let's move on to the crazy that has gone on in the NFL from my favorite day of the season, which is Black Monday.
The old carousel.
The old carousel. So let's start by a little story I have.
All right.
I said, hey, on Sunday night, it's my favorite day of the year coming up tomorrow.
I had no idea this was your favorite day of the year.
Because people lose their jobs and stuff like that. But, like, I love to see what happens in the league. And because it's always shocking.
Yeah.
And here it goes. The very first firing after the game was Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio of the Raiders, who went, 12-4 last year, goes 6-7-9. Whatever it was. Anyway, not as great.
I'm not even gonna bail you out.
He had a 6-year contract. He was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So instantly, I thought there is no way they are firing Jack Del Rio unless they know for sure they can get Gruden. And hours later, John Gruden signs a 10-year, $100 million contract to be the coach of the Oakland Raiders.
To have that job security.
6-10. You were close. I think you said
6-10.
I did say,
nice.
Yeah, you're
nice.
Fine.
I said 7-9. But yeah,
same.
6-10.
I mean, at that point, it's
apples
peanuts
and oranges.
Yeah.
Apples to apples. Anyway, Jordan, Jack Del Rio. Did you guys see this coming? Emily, did you see it coming that Jack Del Rio would get fired?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. No.
What a riveting conversation.
I mean, the way I see it, I thought about it as, like, the same way I thought about it with Tom Herman going to Texas last year.
Yeah.
In terms of, as soon as people talked about it, and then I heard the potential coach to be talk about it, it's like, okay, there's something going on here.
Yeah.
How long ago did you hear that talked about, though?
Well, I mean, they were talking about it on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. A while ago, and
oh really? I see. I didn't know that.
It was. I mean, it was like a few weeks ago, at least, that they were talking about it, and so.
And where he was saying, like, "Oh, I might consider coming back, but I don't know." The same thing he's been saying for the last 3 years, though.
Right, but I mean, for me, I think that you look at what his situation was like with the Raiders when he first was there, and also the situation, not just now, in terms of this is a big name hire before you move to Vegas the year after next, but also the state of the team, it made a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a solid team.
Absolutely,
would you say?
Exactly.
It's a solid team. There's really great guys there. There's it's a promising future.
And you have a quarterback that, you know, when he's on it, is without a doubt top half, top tier quarterback in the league.
Well,
top
when
half,
we
sure.
talked to Brandon Lee a couple weeks ago, she had mentioned that he has, like, she thinks he has a confidence issue, Derek Carr. So do you think that getting a coach who has not only coached the Raiders before, who is a fan favorite and has won championships before, and not only that, but is like a great quarterback's coach, is constantly in the game as a coach, whether he's announcing or doing whatever, he is a coach. Like, day in and day out is a coach. Do you think that will instill confidence in Derek Carr?
I think that, and obviously I don't think we'll know what the actual details are of, like, I'm just going to say, like, their details of, like, the actual conversation, their first conversation between the two in terms of John Gruden and Derek Carr. But, like I said, the way Derek Carr played last year before he got hurt, and, like you said, the proven track record that Gruden's had with quarterbacks, obviously he has the QB camp when he was an announcer. You know, I don't see why.
He talked to Derek Carr.
Right, exactly.
Which is amazing. And he told him, he's like, I love you.
Right.
I think you're a great quarterback.
So, I mean, I don't see why Derek Carr wouldn't have confidence being led by a guy like John Gruden.
I think it's a pretty amazing grab. And like I said, I think that if the Raiders didn't, if John Gruden had said, no, I don't really think I want to come back, there's no way they're getting rid of Del Rio. Because who else is on the market?
Not just that. And, I mean, obviously a lot of things didn't go right for the Raiders this year. But as we mentioned before we got on the air, you saw what happened last year. And that was like the whole thought of, oh man, Oakland's ahead of schedule and already this good. So what's going to happen next year?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be the team challenging the Patriots, you know, not the Steelers or whoever may be.
Eagles.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, just like in the AFC in general.
Yeah.
Don't count out the Falcons now. But I would agree with you with that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, this was a kind of an interesting hire today, which was actually that the 49ers hired defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. From the Raiders as their head coach of defense and coaching inside linebackers. So I've seen a lot of notes on Twitter about this. I think Bonte mentioned something.
Yeah.
Kyle mentioned something about this, but that they think it's a good hire, but a weird title. Do you think that this is a good hire? Do you know, do you know enough about this guy to say whether that's a good hire for the 49ers or not? I mean, it seems like the 49ers are kind of on the up.
Of course, absolutely they are.
So
absolutely.
They must know what they're doing, maybe?
I mean, John Lynch hasn't missed so far. And I mean, obviously, I know he's a general manager in most of the terms of, like, players and things like that. But, like you said, the way they've been rolling as of late, I won't question it.
Yeah.
And also, I feel like that's just going to be another voice, because he's not just a position coach. He's also an associate head coach.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if you try to ask me what exactly that means, I don't know. But it obviously sounds like, you know, you have
it's
a
important.
Lot of power in there besides just coaching a position.
You get to say something.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to question a move that John Lynch or that whole that front office makes.
Because so far, so good.
They've hit on the money
right?
so far.
Yeah. Well, something I don't think that anybody thought was unusual whatsoever, but you have Ben McAdoo gets fired from the Giants, which everybody kind of saw that coming.
Right.
Obviously, then Chuck Pagano gets fired from the Colts. And then,
which is tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough.
Jim Caldwell is fired from the Detroit Lions, and then John Fox from the Chicago Bears. Then the Chicago Bears turn around, and they hire the, who did they hire? Oh, yeah, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs as their new head coach, Matt
Nagy.
There
you go.
Got it.
Come on, you got to pick me up faster.
I was going to give you a chance. I had to give you a chance first.
Matt Nagy. So, this is what, the third head coach for the Bears in like 4 years,
something.
Probably? Something pretty close to that. Good move, bad move, we don't know yet.
I feel like it doesn't completely hurt. And the reason why I say that is, you know, if this was year 2, 3, 4, et cetera, that Trubisky had with John Fox and that coaching staff, then it's like, okay, yeah, they had a bad year, but, you know, you don't know what was going on in terms of chemistry, familiarity, playbook, things like that. So, I mean, this is a little different, and also, don't get me wrong, this also this had to do a lot with Andy Reid, because wherever he goes, he does a great job with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But you see the year that Alex Smith had in Kansas City, and so,
so
you can't...
up and down. Like, the first half of the year was so amazing, and you were like, oh my gosh, these guys are...
Absolutely.
And then the second half was just like... Where is this team going?
Yeah, but I mean, even at the beginning of the year, once they drafted Pat Mahomes,
yeah,
everyone was thinking, okay, yeah, he's going to be the guy, and then Alex Smith's like, wait a minute.
But I'm the guy.
Yeah, like, you don't see what I'm doing?
Yeah.
So I feel like there has to be that type of confidence with Trubisky coming in. It's like, I've seen what he's done in Kansas City,
mm-hmm,
so see what he can do here. You know,
yeah.
And I think that hopefully Bears fans have the patience with them, because I know they're a proud fan base.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and
see,
the Chiefs are kind of up in the air right now. I mean, so far we haven't heard anything about Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
He appears to be saying his job appears to be safe. But their assistant head coach, Brad Childress, is going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've lost their offensive coordinator. So. There's a lot to be rebuilt in the Chiefs organization. Do you think that that means anything for Alex Smith going forward? Could he be looking for a new team next year?
You know, usually when you have these questions in terms of head coach, offensive coordinator, that might signal for a team that maybe not a rebuild, because obviously this is a very talented team, but they might be looking to go a different direction. And so when I say that, you know, you still have Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and a lot of good players on that defense.
Yeah.
To where do they take the risk to bring in a second-year starter in Mahomes that obviously has all the arm talent? I don't know, but like you said, if Andy Reid's not there, Nagy's obviously not there, I could see Alex Smith going somewhere else, just looking at the signs on the wall.
And where... And I know that this is, like, off the top of your head, but where do you think would be a good fit for him? The one place that I've heard, and maybe that's, I haven't really done a ton of research on it.
Duval.
Yeah.
Easily. Easily Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people.
Everybody's calling for Blake Bortles' head? Look where he got them this year.
Yeah, with the 86 passing yards and 87 rushing yards and the... Which, I mean, congratulations, you beat Buffalo, and I'm not trying to say anything against Buffalo.
Well, but it's also Buffalo.
Yeah, they're not the Steelers, they're not...
Yeah. It was funny, someone texted me and was like, oh my gosh, Buffalo lost. I was like, shocking.
Especially once Peterman came back in. I mean,
yeah,
we saw how that happened the first time.
Nice.
But the way I see it is, if you had somebody, because they have a lot of talented skill players. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why a lot of people thought Bortles was going to be a lot better with Hearns, Robinson, obviously Leonard Fournette in the backfield. But it's not consistent. Like, there was a streak later in the season where Blake Bortles was good, but then obviously he threw, what, was it 5 picks in 2 games or something like that? And then obviously he didn't do well at all in the playoff game. So, I mean, I obviously can see Jacksonville being open to looking for a quarterback, because the defense is there.
And what about Arizona?
Ooh, that's another good location with Carson Palmer out.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like, I guess I'm looking more so in the head of, if I'm Alex Smith, where would I want to go?
Yeah, where would you want to go?
And
yeah,
I'm saying Jacksonville.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. That's pretty much the biggest news out of the coaching transfers and whatnot. Emily, what do you got for us?
Not a whole lot, obviously.
You're still depressed?
No, I'm not as up on the NFL as you guys are.
She's been depressed since the Rose Bowl.
I don't really have anything to contribute. Baker Mayfield should have been in that game.
See, there you go.
No, I just mean anything, you know, not just necessarily NFL.
Oh,
yeah. But were you shocked about, because we did talk about this, were you shocked that the Tennessee Titans beat the Chiefs this weekend? The wild card?
Again, I didn't watch, and I don't know. I have no comment.
Okay, well, anything else from Emily?
No, I think the conversation we had earlier about the Raiders and the just ridiculous amount of money they're paying Gruden. I know everybody likes him, but that's an insane amount of money to pay somebody.
Well, I really like the comment that you said about the fact that, like, well, that could have rebuilt a stadium here.
And I understand it's money they don't have yet. It's ticket sales to be sold, whatever, but I don't know. They should have made that kind of investment in Oakland, not in Gruden.
Yeah, because you don't think they'll do well in Vegas.
I don't think they'll do well in Vegas. I think it's an experiment that I just think they're going to, I think it's going to fail. I don't see Vegas as a Sunday kind of town ever.
Because that's the day you leave.
Yeah. You're either getting in for work, you're not going to a football game, or you're leaving because you just had the worst or best Saturday of your life and you're out. I don't think, not many people stick around Sunday. Like, when I cover Pac-12 basketball there, everyone's on the first flight out. Doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, Britney Spears could be playing and I would still leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, when I see
Sunday in Vegas is yuck.
More times than not, I feel like when I was in Vegas and I was there for about a week, which I don't recommend doing for anybody.
Exactly.
I did it. It's too long.
But, yeah, about two or three days, and that's it.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's say you stay out that Saturday,
yeah,
5 a.m. The game's probably going to be at 1. So you do have a little bit of room to where, like I said earlier, if you're a Broncos fan, I can see you definitely making that trip.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Chargers fan, albeit San Diego or Los Angeles, whichever, I can see you making that trip.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, a lot of the teams, if they happen to play Seattle or things like that, and, I mean, even off of that, I've heard from other people who have friends that live in Vegas, and they're legitimately excited. I know a lot of people always think about Vegas as being, you know, people just coming in for a weekend and they leave, but it's a pretty decent sized town away from just the strip.
Yeah.
So, like, those people are legitimately excited about the team coming in.
It's going to be the ticket prices, though, are going to be expensive. They're not going to be Raiders prices that you see in Oakland. So, my question is, people that move to Vegas that live in Vegas full time, yes, there's going to be a discrepancy. Okay, there's wealthy people, there's nice gated communities, but the average income in Las Vegas for the people that live there, I don't know what that is. So, I would have to do research on how much someone's willing to spend on a ticket, season tickets, how much it's going to be. It's like with the Warriors moving to San Francisco, there's going to be a lot of people squeezed out of tickets because it's expensive.
But also, the last few years, Warriors tickets are already ridiculous.
They've gone up.
And the way I see it, from what I do know, I feel like the cost of living in Vegas,
mm-hmm,
probably not what it's like out here.
Definitely.
So there's already a little bit more of money that you can afford to spend.
But you're also not making as much because the cost of living's down, but so is the amount that you're making.
But not as a player, though.
Oh, no. Yeah. We're talking about from the fan standpoint.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the players want. I don't know if it slide scales like that at all.
Do you think it's different? I don't know.
I have no idea.
All I know is whoever has some contracts that are lasting 3, 4, 5 years right now, they can't wait to get out there.
Yeah.
They're like, less income taxes. Let's go.
Exactly.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Time will tell. So as of right now, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
I'm out of this one. I can't speak on this. I can't.
I don't know. Falcons?
No, I think watching this weekend once again proves, well, the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl again. Like, I feel like everybody else is just, it's Bill Belichick and the Patriots. It's Tom Brady. Like, I don't think that anybody else has a shot.
How about that report that came out, though?
Yeah, that everybody's feuding over there.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick isn't getting along with Tom Brady because Tom Brady and
Kraft
are like super.
And Brady wanted Garoppolo out.
Yeah. But Belichick didn't. But what I heard from Garoppolo is that he said Bill Belichick gave him the Niners playbook like 4 years ago. So that brings that, and that was something that Garoppolo said in an interview. So I'm wondering what truth is really like in this circle right now. But I mean, we're never gonna know. It's the media,
right?
Yeah.
So Em, when is our next podcast?
That's a really good question.
What's going on?
I know. We'll have to see. We definitely have some stuff going for baseball in the spring. We'll start gearing up for some spring training. And I think we need to really hunker down on some college hoops because that's really, there's not enough time in this segment to really dive into what Jerry Palm told us about all of these top teams losing and the parity that we're seeing in the top 25. Kansas lost at home again.
Yeah, this could be a like March Madness is always nuts, but like this could be a really nuts March Madness.
Yes, it's
which will
be interesting. The Pac-12, particularly Arizona losing.
Shout out Deshaun Davis.
It's but been, Arizona it's been State nuts. Is up. How have they been doing since our last podcast?
They're doing okay, but they've had some losses all as right. well. So
they had a tough win against Utah.
They did, and Utah. That's the thing about Utah. I believe it was at Utah too.
It's always a tough.
It's
place
hard
to play,
there. Yes, football, basketball, absolutely. It doesn't matter. They're,
absolutely.
They've always been a good basketball team, and I figured they'd find their stride eventually. But the Colorado beating Arizona, that's really what playing up in Colorado is hard too. The altitude. I like Roll Tad. Tad Boyle is one of my favorite college basketball coaches. So I think it's going to be a fun year. I'm excited.
What do you think about Sean Miller's comments after the game?
I didn't see him, but I don't put any stock into what Sean Miller says anymore. I don't think anybody should at this point.
Honestly, I
but
think
why
this
is that?
One was...
Because you guys have to remember that, like, some people listening to the podcast don't know what his comments
he's
are.
Dirty.
So then why would you not take stock in what he says?
Yeah, he's dirty. He just doesn't do things the right way.
I feel like it's different just because usually with Sean Miller, he isn't known for throwing players under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you know, saying, I can't get these guys to play for me. I can't, they don't run hard, you know, things like that. It's like, okay, this is a legit
something's
shot.
Wrong.
This is legit shots fired, you know, so.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is they're sick of it. Like, they're sick of the program being run the way it is.
Yeah, but
price.
I mean, but I mean even if that was the case, even in years past, if, like, people were players were tired of the way it was run, they still were good enough to make an Elite Eight run.
Well, when you're winning, no one's going to say
that's
anything.
The point.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to make
right.
is that they're not winning right now.
Right.
So that's why it's even bigger
right.
than they're saying it right now.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, Bill Self says it about Kansas all the time. He came out and said that this is the softest team he's ever coached.
Yeah.
But instead of, I don't know, sometimes that works to inspire greatness and sometimes it backfire. So
of course.
It depends on the kind of guys you have, and you want to hope that they've recruited the kind of guys they need. But this year is just weird. Aside from Oklahoma, I don't really know any other team that's been consistently putting up solid numbers.
Of course, besides Michigan State, but they lost.
But they lost too. Yeah. So I don't
that's
know.
That's the great thing about college basketball.
I love college basketball. I love
it. Absolutely.
So we'll
I have to do
that.
My research and get into the
yes.
college.
We'll be covering
world.
Some.
All right, well, we got big things coming, people, so stay mm-hmm. tuned. That was this episode of Sideline Sass.
Yep.
So, Jordan?
Thank you so much again for having me. My home state of Atlanta and Georgia, I'm sorry. We're gonna win a championship eventually. We will.
All right. And also, what should everyone do?
You should always stay sassy.
There we
stay
go.
Sassy.